Okay. To myślę, że możemy zaczynać. Dzień dobry.
I think we can start. Good afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first presentation of financial results of Santander Bank Polska S.A. We have undergone rebranding. Together with me, there are CEO Michał Gajewski, Maciej Reluga, CFO, Carlos Polaino, the financial controller, Wojciech Skalski, head of financial accounting area. My name is Agnieszka Dowżycka, and I'm in charge of investor relations. CEO, I hand over to you. Thank you very much. Hello, once again. As Agnieszka has said, this is the very first conference with the new brand. This is the first conference when we are going to cover the financial results of Santander Bank Polska. As you know, this is a very special year, not only because of the great weather here, because I've heard that in Spain it is snowing. This is a very special year for our bank because, apart from the core business, we are conducting large projects. We have covered one of them already. This was rebranding, and another one concerning the integration with Deutsche Bank will be closing soon. This will be covered by me in greater detail later on. Now let us start from the slide number 5. Our assets grow by 18%, both in credits and deposits. And very important news here is that this growth ensures us an increase in market share, both in credits. They are higher than at the beginning of the year. In credits, these are 10.4. At the very beginning of the year, this was 10.2. Now it is 10.4. In deposits, that has also grown. I will cover the causes of that in greater detail later on. But before I do that, I'd like to devote a couple of words to a great project that also influences the activity of our bank. This is rebranding. As you know, on the 7th of September, this change happened. The peak of informational and communicational brand, this was the 10th of September. All the front pages of all the main dailies in Poland were all red, and we communicated that we have undergone rebranding. We communicated that we were becoming a bank which would be even more attractive for our customers. And we have covered the first set of research. This shows that 42% of our customers are aware of the fact that there was rebranding, there was a Santander brand. And 30% of our customers are aware of the fact that a flame is the sign of our bank. This is our symbol. Our commercial reached almost 88% of our target group. We issued commercials. We had some screening of these commercials in cinemas, and these reached over 3 million of customers. We also needed to have a change of 750 of our branches, 1,700 of self-service devices, I mean ATMs and CDMs. And we think that this was a very successful change, and the first set of research has already demonstrated that. This was the first step, and now we are going to have a second campaign, which will be launched in February, and this will be related to sponsoring of UEFA Champions League, and this will point to a new brand and a new customer offer related to that. And now I'd like to speak in short about Deutsche Bank. Starting from the 7th of September, the customers of Deutsche Bank have been informed about the planned changes, and starting from the 1st of October, they have been able to use our ATMs free of charge. On the 9th of November, there will be registration in the National Court of Register, and there will be legal and operational merger conducted. And this is the very first time in history of the Polish sector when such a merger, both legal and operational merger, will be conducted. We are very well prepared to that, both in terms of logistics and communication. We are in touch with our customers and with the customers of Deutsche Bank, and soon, over the weekend, over 360,000 customers of Deutsche Bank will become customers of Santander Bank Polska. Apart from the big projects, we did not forget about our business as usual. And now I'd like to show you a couple of words, a couple of slides about that. I'd like to start from retail banking. After the third quarter, over 900,000 customers used our account as they wanted. Yesterday in Września, we opened the millionth account as they wanted. So we have a million of customers who use the account as they wanted. But this is not only about the sales of this account as they wanted, but we need to remember about credit facilities. Year to date, we have over 25 increase of sales in mortgages, quarter on quarter. The third quarter on quarter is up by 43%. And since January, we have sold over 5 billion of mortgages. In three quarter only, it is over 1.9 billion zlots. So this performance is really nice. There is a high demand for this project. We're doing fine in cash loans as well. This is 16% up. And our average quarterly sales in this respect is 1.2 billion zlots. Last year, to compare that, the quarterly terms were 1 billion. So we have progress here. In terms of retail deposits, this is up by 13%. We have 66 billion zlots. From the very beginning of the year, this is 7 billion up. We'll tell you why we grow so dynamically. This is all, of course, covered with the integration of Deutsche Bank and the additional liquidity that we will need on the day of a takeover. On the next slide, you can see that we are developing our services and channels within mobile banking. This is already 2.18 million active customers within digital. This is up by 8% year on year. And when it comes to mobile banking, we have 1.24 million customers there, and this is 23% up year on year.
We see a dynamic growth in mobile banking. In third quarter, that was 10.3 million. That's up by 75% year on year. We are the leader in terms of mobile payments. We have an extensive portfolio of those available to our customers. With many of those, we're the first to launch them. The last one was Fitbit. We were the first one to introduce that. We're the first to launch Garmin. Of course, we also have Apple Pay, Google Pay, and HCE payments. Over 300,000 customers avail of those payments. Apple Pay is proving especially popular among our customers. The SME segment generated very good results in Q3. And by SME, I mean annual turnover of up to 8 million zlotys. As you see in the presentation, loans up by 11%, deposits up by 17% year on year. That is portfolio of 11 billion, both on the loan side and on the deposit side. The fee income up by 23%, interest income up by 11%. So very good performance in that line. Business and corporate banking, that's on slide 10. They had a very good quarter, 11% growth in loans and a 17% growth in deposits. In strategic sector, we've got income higher by 16%. In international business, an increase of 13%. We have electronic signature, a novelty in that segment, and extended self-service zone in iBusiness 24. Now I'll talk a little about corporate investment banking. In Q3, we had a lot of transactions related to guarantees, letter of credits. We participated in a number of club deals for the property, service, and energy sectors. We also ran an issuance of Eurobonds worth 500 million euro. We were the sole arranger and the sole book runner for that transaction. In product areas, we recorded double-digit growth. We also have a new thing, a cash nexus, where customers could check their balance or make transactions with accounts in other banks within Santander Group. Now a bit about results. After the 9 months, the interest income was higher by 8%. In the third quarter, it was 1.420 million, and that's historically the highest result we ever generated in that line. Fee income up 4%, net operating income 3.4 billion, up by 5%. Our net result is 1.57 billion, and this result was higher compared year to year for three reasons. One was the LPPs compared to 2017, and this was impacted by the NPL sales we generated in 2017, and the results of those sales were incorporated into our models. Another reason was the impact of the merger with Deutsche Bank, the initial costs that we incurred. And the third reason were the costs related to rebranding. We are in line with the budget. We would have incurred those costs anyway for marketing and communication with customers. The following slide presents our capital ratios. They confirm our robust position. The capital ratios and efficiency ratios are solid. The same refers to the to our liquidity ratios. Maciej, I will now hand over to you. Thank you, Michał. Before we go into detail, about our performance. Let me talk a bit about macroeconomic performance, about the macroeconomic environment. If you compare the highlights, the economic highlights we were presenting last quarter to those we're presenting now, you won't see many developments. The GDP growth projection is slightly higher. The structure is a bit changed. Consumption is 5% likely to maintain this year, could slow down next year because disposable income will go down as a result of rising inflation. And that's the most important change that you see on that slide. In the previous projections, we had a lower inflation rate, 2.2. Now we've got 2.6 projected for the next year. What's important in this projection, we don't include higher retail energy prices. So it doesn't have a direct impact, but the risk is likely to materialize, the risk of higher prices. There is an indirect impact, however, because of higher costs on the business side, which will, of course, translate into prices for retail customers. So inflation is climbing towards a central bank target. And in this context, the change of rhetorics of the central bank should not come as surprising. You see our projections, a hike projected by the end of 2019, then continued in 2020. We're not changing those projections. We're not adjusting them. They were not aligned with the communiques of the central bank, which maintained that there won't be any hikes by the end of 2020. Now they've changed their mind. They've announced there could be hikes already at the beginning of 2020. That's all about the macroeconomic environment, consumption, unemployment, investment around 5%. Of course, we all want it to accelerate, but the situation is what it is. Loans and deposits in the banking sector, a few interesting trends and how we fit into this picture. We outperform the market in many segments. In consumer loans, we see an acceleration, a growth of about 10% at the beginning of the year. That was around 7%. Higher disposable income, higher credit worthiness, and better financial standing of households. These are all the reasons for this increase. Business loans, this acceleration is possible. We have situation stabilized at around 6 or 7%. I don't find those trends concerning. They're not growing too high because the loan growth is still around the nominal GDP growth. So I don't find this situation concerning. On the deposit side, the trend in terms of volume is continued. What I mentioned a quarter ago about the deposit costs, that's what I find interesting, because the cost of new origination in May, it went up, and then after May, it leveled off. But this morning, when I looked at the new data released by the central bank for September, I saw some interesting things, and we have to observe whether that trend will be continued. The cost, according to the data, the cost of new origination went up quite high, and mostly for households and particularly for short tenors, including deposits for up to 1 month by a few dozens of basis points. So it could be triggered by some special offers in terms of deposits, but this trend should be observed. The weight of new origination is not high in the total base, therefore, on average, this effect is of almost only 1 or 2%. So, as I've said, this trend should be observed. Now I'll hand over to Michał.
Now let us look at the slide number 19. As we have said, at the end of September, the gross loan portfolio went up by 9%, and quarter on quarter, this growth was by 5%. So now we have 121.8 billion of loans. The biggest increase was reported in mortgages, where we had 16% up. So the good news was that there was also the amortization of our Swiss franc loans portfolio by 8% year on year. And in zloty perspective, it was down by 10% year on year. When it comes to lending to individuals, I mean cash overdrafts, credit cards, there was an increase by 6% year on year. Lending to SME grew by 11% year on year, and corporate loans went up by 14% year on year, excluding property. And this was another successful quarter for Santander Consumer Bank. Gross loans increased by 9%, and there was also amortization of the Swiss franc loans portfolio. When it comes to retail lending, the growth was very dynamic by 15%. When it comes to customer funds, these grew by 11% year on year. So this was in total over 141.2 billion zlots. Deposits alone grew by 12% year on year, and here we have a very nice growth in term deposits by 15% year on year. Retail deposits grew by 13%, and another two-digit growth was reported in business deposits by 12%. This was a difficult quarter for mutual funds. But despite all that, we have 16.6 billion zlots, up by 4% year on year. When it comes to net interest income, this is slide number 21. As I said, the good news on this slide is that this was record high quarter in the whole track record of the bank. This was 1.42 billion zlots. This is the highest net interest income ever quarterly for the bank, up by 8%. Year to date, it is over 4.2 billion zlots. If we look at the net interest margin, here we can see that there is some effect visible of this additional liquidity that we needed to gather. And this over-liquidity may only be invested into liquid assets whose profitability is below the average assets of the bank. Because, as you know, there are only 9 days to go to the integration of the Deutsche Bank. So this is the time when these assets will have to be used and converted into the assets of Deutsche Bank. So all in all, we think that this decrease is only temporary, and we think that the fourth quarter should be far better. When it comes to net fees, slide number 22. This is 1.5 billion zlotys at the end of September, up by 4% year-on-year, and this is even despite the bad situation on the capital markets. I'm especially happy because of the growth of loan fees. This is 34% up year-on-year, and if we include leasing, this is 36%. FX fees up by 12%, credit card fees up by 5%. So all these things are performing very well, despite the fact that in the third quarter, net fees were lower than in the second quarter. FX income up 12.2%. This is the result of our trade finance and the development of FX services. When it comes to gross income, 8% up year-on-year, and this was including record high net fees. As you can see, this is yet another quarter where this gross income is over 2 billion zlotys. This started in the fourth quarter, when it was the very first time, when we exceeded the boundary, and we have been maintaining this momentum for some quarters already. Now, this year, we have 6.2 billion zlotys in this line. So summing up, very decent results when it comes to net interest income. And quarterly results, again, over 2 billion zlotys. And now I will hand over to Maciej, who will cover the next slides. So when it comes to costs, I think that you can see the majority of things that we have already covered in our presentation. Costs have increased under the influence of several factors related to the projects that we are carrying out. We have already mentioned the rebranding costs in the third quarter. Another thing was the cost of integration of the carve-out part of Deutsche Bank, which were related to our previously presented subjects, and the distribution of 100 million between the quarters, which was quite equal. Another element was staff costs, because in May, we introduced remuneration increase, so we have another month influence here in the third quarter as compared to the second quarter. In terms of provisions and the quality of the credit portfolio, well, I think that the situation is quite similar here, and in the previous quarters, we talked about risk charge at a level of 80 basis points. We have one point more, but this is still more or less similar to the previous quarter, and more or less the level observed in the previous quarters, excluding the effect of the NPL sales. I think that in general, the quality of the credit portfolio, it is very stable. We are observing a decrease in NPL ratio, and as you can see on the next slide, we sold NPL of the amount of 490 million zlotys. As we had already announced previously, the sales of this year will have a lower impact. This is only 14 million zlotys. When it comes to KNF and BFG costs in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, we'll have normalization at the same level because we do not have any resolution here. And now let us go to the slide number 27, which summarizes all our track record of the first three quarters. Very good business results, volumes up, market share up. And at the same time, costs under the development projects, which should be in line with the expectations. Also, risk charges charge in line with the previous expectations. I think that we can say that despite of the investment into the future, we have a very solid profit in the third quarter of 2018. So now let us open the Q&A session.
Dzień dobry. Dwa pytania.
Hi, I have two questions. The first one is about the rebranding and integration costs in Q3. We know it was about 72 million for the integration over the first three quarters and about 40 for rebranding. How much was it in Q3? And personnel costs, can you tell us which part of this quarterly increase can be attributed to the integration and which to the pay raise? My third question is risk charge at 80 basis points according to your guidelines for the next year. We have a slowdown in GDP of 1%. We've got inflationary pressure. You know, it seems nothing is happening, but some sectors already, let's say, feeling the slowdown. It's the end of the year. Could you maybe try to elaborate on the expected risk charge for 2019? Okay, let me write down your last question. The cost of integration after the first two quarters, that was around 50. So Q3, it was it was 20. It was around 20. So for integration, it's the same as we already announced. However, this amount will not be distributed equally per quarter. In terms of rebranding, that's 5 plus 35. So in the third quarter, it was around 35. Personnel cost, quarter to quarter, 3 million as a result of pay raises in May. We've got the effect of a few million that may be attributed to the integration. But what's important is what happened in Q2 in personnel costs. It decreases the base and hence boosts up the growth. And that was the release of the pension provision of about 16.5 million. That's why this increase quarter to quarter may seem so high. In terms of your provisions, your last question, and we observe it not only here, but in the entire sector. So despite the fact that we saw accelerated GDP growth, the provisions, businesses didn't really see lower provisions. You know how provisioning models usually work. The trend was that GDP was going up, GDP growth was going up, the risk charge was improving. But from a certain point, when GDP was still going up to climbing to 5%, we didn't see a better risk charge. And it showed us some differentiation between sectors. You know, some sectors may still work on old contracts, hence struggle with margins and performance. However, we see that diversification is sector specific. I see this year throughout the year, we see reports that financial results of companies are great. They perform great. Two quarters when costs are going higher than the revenues. Margins are a bit lower, but sales are going up, so the general performance is okay. But then we get reports from about bankruptcies, that the number is actually going up. So I would say that this actually hampered this risk charge and made it stay at that particular level. We're now wondering what will happen when GDP slows down to around 4, yes? The risk charge was sort of that area when GDP growth was 4%. So in terms of guidance for the next year, today we won't be talking about the merged bank. We'll be releasing results for the merged institution in January. But if I theoretically, you said your question was philosophical. So if there was no merger and we continued as we are at the moment, the risk charge would be more or less the same as it is. I have a question about slide 22. You said this is the best quarter when it comes to the interest income. So what is your outlook for margin? Because every quarter you outperform the previous quarter, mBank got a better margin, Millennium generating a better net interest margin, and you didn't. Could you elaborate on this? And my question is, can you make up for the decrease, and what could be the reasons behind that decrease? When NIM is 4% and it's lower by 40%, so that's one-tenth of your net interest income. How will you make up for it, and what are the reasons behind the decline? Let me take this, Maciej. I said this trend might revert already in the Q4 because we were building excess liquidity before the integration, and we had to invest this excess liquidity in assets with generating lower returns, and those assets in 9 days, those assets will convert into DB assets. So in our view, this is only a temporary decline and maybe attributed primarily to the fact we were building excess liquidity before the integration. Maciej, could you elaborate? Yes, I'm looking at Q3 alone. We see more effect of NIM decline on the asset side than the liabilities side. It really results from how much liquid assets we have, because assets with very low yield Well, they won't be directly converted, but through repaying the funding gap and acquiring a mismatch balance. What is the asset yield on DB assets that you'll be acquiring? You have 15 billion more bonds. What is DB yield? I think when we're talking about securities, and we're not only talking about bonds, it could be short-term instruments with an even lower yield. We're saying that in 2 weeks we'll have an outflow of liquidity of a few billion. So those are assets with very low yield. About the yield on DB assets, well, what I can, you can check that in DB report for 2017. We can't tell you about the particular elements of DB assets. We can talk about it, though, in January when we're presenting the results of the merged institution. About the margin again. So what is the expected margin following the merger, assuming that the cost of deposits is normalized? Can you? No, we can't. No, I can really just repeat what I said in the answer to the previous question. Well, what we said, we think in Q4 it will go up. In Q4, NIM will go up. What about badwill? Because when I do a simple calculation, I get 713 million. I think this meeting is about the performance in Q3, so it's difficult to comment on Q4 performance just now. The booth is not receiving this.
If there are no more questions, I will read two questions from the internet. The first question from Mr. Kielbach. Has the bank raised any provision in terms of the consumer office of and decision about the fixed carrier? And the second question,
and the dividend criteria K1 and K2, how it will change after Deutsche Bank assets are acquired?
When it comes to the criteria related to the Swiss franc portfolio, one of them relates to the percentage of loans granted in 2007 and 2008. This will not change. This is another additional 50 beeps of a decrease. And the second ratio relating to the total of the share of the FX portfolio in the total loans of the bank. Of course, as a result of taking over the assets of Deutsche Bank, this will decrease. To what extent this will decrease, we will see after the fourth quarter. But in the investor presentation, following the announcement of the transaction, we said that the decrease should be below 10%. If it does, then the second criteria saying about a decrease by 20 beeps will not be binding to the end of 2018. Are there any other questions? Yes, I wanted to talk about the balance sheet of provisions, because we can see there were 20 million of write-offs in ALM in central operations, and this was not as it was used to be. The booth is not receiving. The allocation of sales of portfolios. So we are talking about 20 million of allocation. You have statement of segments of IFRS, and there is ALM segment, some million, and here we have 20 million negative. So why is that? This portfolio sale included only retail or also corporate ones? An additional question concerning costs. The FTEs this quarter has decreased, and this is very visible. Do we see the effect of that in this quarter? What I mean, you know, the costs have not decreased despite a decrease in the FTEs. We had several types of costs related to that, and this should be contributing to the benefit of that. We have severance pays, for instance. Well, the very same reduction in the third quarter, if it was there, there was no cost effect. So the effect of the reduction will be visible later on. One more question concerning new sales in mortgages. This was outstanding this quarter. Is this the new reference level for Santander? What does it stem for? Is the margin on new mortgages lower than the margin on the book? Or have you entered new sales channels? Do you have any special offer? What contributed to that? Well, the easiest answer is demand, which is great. We keep selling. We keep selling products that are desired by our customers. And if our customers are so dynamic in buying properties, we just finance these properties. We did not have any special offers. This margin has been maintained. And if it continues, well, it depends to a large extent on the pace of development of this market and whether the customers will keep on investing in properties. So on the basis of what we can see, these are the very first homes of these properties. This is lending for first-time buyers. So from the perspective of security, this is a good harbinger. If it continues, we will see. One more question from me. We are heading towards the end of the year. What is your perspective on the credit and deposits market for the next year? I mean the volumes. Well, when it comes to loans, similar to this year, if there is any acceleration, it will be only slight. And the structure may be slightly different. In mortgages, two-digit growth is not very probable. And I think the corporate loans will accelerate because, for the time being, the increase is quite moderate. In nominal terms, the comparison between the years, there will be slight changes only. Are there any other questions? Okay, if there are none, thank you for coming. And now I invite you to have lunch. Thank you.